Congratulations, you found the Our Little Place on Carmen Street cache at the lamppost on Carmen Street. For the best listening experience, we suggest you cross Carmen Street and stand at the corner of Carmen and Abiel. Yes, by the trash can and street sign. Then look across the street and to the left to see the house at 49 Carmen Street. You'll notice it because it's next to the street sign and has a green basement. This is the old 1920s residence of the Mills family. And here are some voices from the souls who lived in this apartment, specifically the second and third floors, including Eleanor Mills, one of the two victims in the Hall Mills double homicide. For more historical context about this home, please visit the cache description in the Geocache app or the Thinkery in Verse website.
I'm James Mills. I never did too well at school learning. Just didn't get it. The kids made fun of me, but I didn't let it bother me. I kind of knew that my gifts, as they taught us in Bible class, was my hands. Even when I was just a little kid, my hands taught me most of what I needed to know. When I picked up something that was broken, my hands told me how to fix it. People caught on fast and always brought me broken things for repair. When I was 14, my folks said schooling was just not doing me any good, so I apprenticed as a cobbler. That was an important profession before they took to making shoes on a factory assembly line. And let me tell you, I was a damn good cobbler. You know why? Because of my hands. I felt a person's foot and my hands knew what to do. Business was good. One lady even came from Trenton to have me make her shoes. But then the factories took over the shoe business. That was pretty much the end of me as a cobbler. Sure, my shoes were expensive, but you ask around today. All the ladies got bunions and corns. None of my customers did. 'Cause I could just feel the leather and know how it should caress a lady's foot. I was out of work for a while, but then Reverend Hall gave me a job as a janitor for the church. It suited me. It suited my hands. They could figure out exactly how to repair whatever needed to be done. One other thing about hands, I never judge a man's character until I shake his hand. I heard that men started shaking hands to show they were not carrying an open weapon, but there's more to it than that. When I shake a man's hand, I can feel his heart. Bullies will bear down heavy so they can make you feel that they can beat you in a fight. A scared man will not apply any pressure at all so that you want to let go right away. But the hand of a man you can trust will fit right into yours. It's like your old hat that your wife keeps trying to throw away. It fits the way that makes you feel good. And that's the way you feel with a man you can believe is your friend. Your hands fit together and you know you can trust them. Even to drive your car.
It's January 1922. This is 8 months before the murders of my mother, Eleanor Mills, and Reverend Hall. Today, Mother is sick. Reverend Edward and his wife, Mrs. Frances Hall, approach our apartment on Carmen Street.
I'm not going inside, Edward.
That's fine, dear. I'll happily make the announcement to Mrs. Mills.
Actually, I will go inside. After all, it's my money paying the bill.
That's fine, dear.
Oh my, that's generous. So generous.
We're happy to cover it.
Thank you. I don't know what to say. Thank you.
They need your voice back in the choir, Mama.
Soon.
You, sir, are a generous man.
Oh, Mr. Mills, don't mention it, my friend. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, sir.
One evening, weeks before Mom's murder, she left the house in a hurry. Dad wasn't thrilled.
Where are you going?
Out.
Over to the church again, I suppose.
Yes, I am.
You're doing more for that church than you do for me.
Why shouldn't I? I care more for Mr. Hall's little finger than I do for your whole body.
He hired this body, not you, to be the sexton. He's not paying you for the work.
I still get something out of it, Jim.
Oh?
Peace. Perfect peace.
Peace, perfect peace was the name of Mother's favorite song to sing in the choir. After the murders, it was discovered that someone had torn that song out of every hymnal in the entire church. Every single one. On the afternoon of Thursday, September 14th, 1922, while eating an after-school snack at our small kitchen table, I noticed my mother cutting out an article from the New York World.
The article describes how an Episcopal church handled the divorce question regarding one of its ministers. I smile at my daughter. I'm proud of her. By the time I was Charlotte's age, 16, I was almost a mother. I liked being a mother, but I would have liked being something else, too.
I watched her leave the house to go to the church.
The article is later found on the minister's desk in the counting room of the church.
Later in the day, Mother comes back home. She snatches a few letters from the attic bedroom we share. She no longer sleeps in the same bed as my dad. She goes downstairs and adjusts her hat and her reflection in the kitchen window. Dad notices.
Where are you going?
Follow me and find out.
I never see my mother alive again. It's now the evening of September 14th, and my father, James Mills...
I work all night on those damned window boxes. I hate working on them. I hate work, really, if we're honest about it. But if you have to be the sexton of a church, might as well be the sexton of the smallest church in town. But at some point, I don't remember when exactly, I walk around the block to the church. No one was there. Which is for the best, because usually when people see me, they ask me to do things. Later, when the police ask about my whereabouts, my alibi cannot be shaken. I cannot be shaken.
There was nothing to shake.
I work until pretty near 11 o'clock at night, under the light, on the table on the back porch. Up there. Can you see it?
What else was on the back porch?
A newspaper, with an article cut out. I suppose my wife cut it out. I notice also that my wife is not in her bed in the attic alongside my daughter. But what can you do? It's late. I go to a nearby grocery store and purchase a glass of soda water. I go to the church of St. John the Evangelist, right over your shoulder, just 2 blocks away.
Why did you go to St. John's?
Just to close the windows.
Not to look for Mom?
Maybe to look for Eleanor. Maybe she had fainted.
Listen, Charlotte. I haven't been a lawyer long, but I know when you need the press on your side. Do you understand? You are your mother's best chance at justice.
I am?
You are. Your father's not a sympathetic figure. Your mother can't speak for herself. So, you have to do it. Okay?
Yes.
Charlotte Mills will take a few questions from the press.
You believe you've never had an adult or mother?
No, I don't think.
Did you hear about murder your mother?
The truth is that there were some women in the church who were jealous of my mother.
Yeah, that seems pretty clear.
She did a lot of work that a pastor's wife usually does.
Yeah, that's the contention. You keep walking into it, kid.
Please, I just want to know what happened. Please, there has to be a witness.
Thank you for listening to Our Little Place on Carmen Street. Please don't forget to sign the logbook and replace the cache for our next set of hunters. This ghost hunt was brought to you by Thinkery and Verse. If you like this hunt, try to find our 9 other geoghosts waiting for you in New Jersey, New York, Virginia, Texas, and even Venice, Italy, all in locations relevant to the Hall Mills murder mystery of 1922. If you'd like to learn more about the lives of the characters in this famous double homicide, check out our podcast, That's How the Story Goes, available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or by visiting our website, thinkeryandverse.org, where you can also donate to the artists of Thinkery and Verse, if you wish. Either way, happy hunting.